We are moving on with our core values, and we'll just want to open, of course, with a funny story, because that's just my style. So a couple had two little boys. They were ages 10 and who were excessively mischievous. The two were always getting into trouble, and their parents could be confident that if there was any mischief in their town, these two young boys were going to be involved, if not leading in some capacity. So their parents were totally at their wits' end, and their son's behavior were out of control. And so the parents had heard that there was a pastor in town that had success in disciplining children and agreed to give it his best shot. So he asked to see the boys individually, so the 8-year-old was sent in first. And the clergyman said to the boy as he sat down, "Where is God?" And the boy had no response. So the clergyman repeated his question even sterner, "Where is God?" Again, the boy made no attempt to answer. And so the pastor raised his voice and he shook his finger, "Where is God?" And the boy ran out of the room. He ran home. He locked himself in a closet, and his little brother was beating on the door. His brother was beating on the door, and he said, "What's wrong? What happened?" And the younger brother replied, "We are in huge trouble this time. God is missing, and they think we did it." Be sure your sins will find out, right? I don't know. When we're looking at our core values as a church, these are critical to us as a church, as Waverly Open Bible specifically, because it's the DNA of who we are. It makes up, it defines who we are as a church, as a community of faith right here. So, you know, doing life together is one of the most impacting and most life-changing things that you and I will ever do. We gather together, we come together with others, sharpening each other, becoming who God wants us to be. So community is really the purest form. We see this in the New Testament specifically, but community is the purest form of church. We celebrate life together. That is our core value. We celebrate life together. And then it says, Jesus came to give us an abundant life, and we believe him. And everything we do, we celebrate. Good times are not optional. Our relationship decisions are the most important decisions that you and I will ever make. Who will you serve with your life? Whom will you live for? Who will you live with? Who will you give your life to? They are the most important decisions that we will choose to make. In fact, the one thing that has most influence in where you are right now is probably the people that have been in your life. It's relationships. Someone said that your net worth is determined by your network. Who are you networking with? Who are you spending time with? Who are you investing in and allowing to invest in you? And it's true, relationships are everything. The Word of God is literally based upon a relationship with Jesus Christ, isn't it? Jesus said, hey, this is important. He said, Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, in the translation, "For where two or three gather," Jesus said, "I'm going to step into that circle. I'm going to step into that circle." So why is Jesus so interested in relationships? Because real life change isn't complete when we just attend one service a week. That's not real life change. There's way more to this life. There's way more to this Christian life than that. It doesn't happen if the school or the college that you go to, or you know what you know and understand. Your real life is going to change as it's going to be impacted by people that you welcome, people that you allow in your life. And that's why Jesus said, if you'll be intentional with your gatherings, your togetherness, I'm going to step in the middle of that, and I'm going to do some powerful things in you and through you. Now, right off the bat, when I said that, if you're in a group or if you're in a life group, I thought, well, that's why I'm involved in life groups. You know, I get it. And for some of you, you're not involved in any significant, intentional kind of relational group that way. And immediately, you're like most people, you're already beginning to think of the reasons, and you're already saying, well, I really can't because, and so I want to address some of those first. Why wouldn't we do it? And then give some reasonings. And what I really want to do is break down and look at how our lives are better if we're doing life together within community, not just life groups, but as a faith community as a whole, in the very way that Jesus intended, the very way that Jesus lived his life while he was here on earth. And so we take a look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 8. These are also inside of your bulletin. And it says, this is the of a man who is all a child or a brother, but who works very hard, wealth as he can. But who am I for? Why am I now? Is all meaningless and also meaningless and depressing. In other words, he doesn't just say that we can relate to. He's not just saying, listen, he's saying things that we can relate to. And by that, he's saying, he's not talking about biological relatives. He's saying that there was no one that he was really close to at all, that was close to him. And so we notice the result, and that it may be the condition that some of you are in today, because he had no son, he had no brother, he was doing life alone. In other words, life didn't work. Notice he tried to substitute what only relationships can do, yet his eyes, scripture says, were not content with his wealth. So in other words, this guy, he obviously tried. Well, you know, he said, listen, I'm going to work harder. I'm going to spend more hours at the office. I'm going to pick up some hobbies. I'm going to do some things that you know, are a lot of people are getting into. And I'm going to try the latest trends. And I'm going to buy nice things. And the thing is what it boiled down to is that it didn't scratch the itch that he had. It wasn't in the context of real life change, because it wasn't in the context of a real relationship. It's the most important decision that you and I will ever make, is who we decide to serve with the rest of our life. Will we decide to have a relationship with Jesus or not? Secondly is who will you marry? Second most important decision. You want life explained? It boils down to this one word: relationships. So walking alone never works. So why would we walk alone? Let me give you some reasons. There's some of you that genuinely didn't even know that you really needed this as bad as you do today. And hopefully you're going to clear that up today within yourself, within your spirit, and within your relationship with Jesus. But some of you actually think, I can handle all this stuff. Listen, life isn't as hard as you maybe say that it is, Pastor. I can handle this. I can do this. And whatever it throws at me, I can do it on my own. I've done it for this long. I can do this. And some of us think, man, I can handle this by myself. But just realize that you're going to find out that that's not really true. No matter how strong you are spiritually, relationally, emotionally, physically, you cannot handle it on your own. Maybe you would say, I don't have the personality. I'm not that outgoing. I don't go to people's homes. I don't invite myself places. I don't just show up, you know, at a meeting, or I don't just invite someone out to just hang out or go to a restaurant or go bowling or to get together with them within a life group. I'm kind of that shy person. And I just want to encourage you today to step out of that. Some of us just say, well, that's just the way I am. And I just want to say to you, that's not good enough. It's not good enough. It's simply an excuse that has got you by until now. Chances are really good that you need relationships more than you possibly think that you do. I've seen some of the shyest people come into a local group or a life group and maybe sit there and not say a word week after week after week. And I've also sat with some of those same people that two semesters later, or maybe at the end of that same semester of life groups, they start to engage in conversation. What happened? They built a relationship with the people around their table. Maybe they just showed up and their relationship was built as they heard them speak into their life. And then they said, I feel comfortable here. I can now start sharing. We're exposing why we might be like that guy that we just read about in Ecclesiastes. And the big one, Jenny, I'm glad you picked that song and God led you to talk about it even more. The big one is fear. The big one is fear. They're just fears, right? It's just fear. Fear of exposing the us. And this is huge. To be able to say, here's what's really going on underneath the surface of Matt Miller. This is, it's scary, wouldn't you agree? That when that time comes, like, oh man, how do I tell people my struggles? How do I share with even someone that I'm close to what I'm really dealing with, what I'm really struggling with? We got to come to that point where we say, hey, listen, this is where I'm messing up. This is my struggle. And that's not everybody. There's some fears that are associated with you know, different things. And I've been to some groups where, you know, I've sat there and my mouth was, you know, I'm kind of holding my mouth up because I literally can't believe what we're talking about around the life group table. And I'm like, is this really happening? Are we shooting a new pilot for a show? I mean, this is crazy. You know, are we really bringing up these topics? And maybe it's your experiences. Sometimes there's been those who have been burned relationally, and I think most of us have, probably. Some of you are here today because you are relationally wounded. And your response to the wound wasn't to get the wound healed. Your response was saying, I will never let that happen again. And I've been there. And I've built up walls, and I've built up defenses, and I've built this, and I've built that. And I said, listen, never going to let this happen to me again. I am going to keep everyone on the outskirts. And I just want to say, it's the wrong response. It's completely the wrong response. I do want to clarify that there are things that we have to put in place so that we're not taken advantage of and that it doesn't happen again. But to say that, listen, I am never going to let that happen again in a relationship. I am never going to expose myself or open myself up to anybody in a relationship again. It is the wrong response because that is not where healing takes place. We've got to be careful that we don't let our past experiences keep us from God's best. Here's the big one that creeps in. It goes undetected for some for a very, very long time, and it is this busyness. It's schedule. It's I got to do all these things. You know, listen, I'm already out 8 nights a week, Pastor. I don't even know what else you want out of me. Yeah, I did. I meant to say 8. You know, I do know that there's only 7 in a. Okay, never mind. I'm busy. You know, I'd love to, but it's not on my schedule, and there's no room. There's no room to put it on my schedule. I just can't. I want you to ask yourself a question: how many things are you not doing that you know that you should be doing, and your life would be better if you were doing them? Because you're allowing your schedule to dictate your life. And let me tell you, that has never been the right scenario. How many things that are in your schedule that are contributing to nothing to your life? It is just nothing but busyness for you and your family. We got to look at these things. We got to take control. Don't let the world, don't let your schedule be the one that's telling you how to live. Because before you know it, you keep adding things to the schedule. Like, oh, one thing came off, we can add another. It's your choice what goes onto the schedule. It's your choice what dictates your life. All of us, from time to time, we've got to analyze it. We've got to do a little bit better. Bob Goff, the author of Love Does, says every Thursday he looks at something in his life and he removes it permanently. That's what a busy person does. I can no longer do this. Done. Okay, moving on. I believe that God designed the church to be that place for some of you that would say, you know, that's the problem. This church is big. It's too big. And you may feel that. And can I just really be honest with you? I'm friends with a lot of the pastors in town, and there's been people that have come to this church, and we've talked to them, and they said, you know what? It's just that church is too big for me. I'm really looking for something smaller. And I was like, can I tell you the name of a church that I think you would really love? And there's nothing wrong with that. If that's where they're going to learn, if that's where they're going to grow, if that's where their family's going to grow in community and in faith and in what they believe, then yes, I'd rather them be at a church that they can do those things than to just drop out of the church and no longer exist. But it's also the same reason that at Waverly Open Bible, that we, when we do life together, we've got to make the big church small. And that's why we do life groups. That's why we've got different classes and different groups that meet throughout the year and through the semesters. And you know, God honors those things that when we do them. And you know, the big church is great because the thing is we can do big things. Amen? But the thing is, small church is great too, because then we can get more intimate and we can build these relationships in small groups that it doesn't mean that you don't build more relationships here, but it's the ones that you get down to the nitty and the gritty with and you say, listen, I gel with you, man. I gel with you. I want to spend more time with you. And that's when you begin to get down underneath the surface and you begin to let people see who you really are. There's a verse in your notes, Romans 12, verse 5. It says, since we are all one body in Christ, we belong to each other, and each of us needs all the others. Each of us needs all the others. Raise your hand if you probably should never be on a worship team. Let's just raise your hand for a second. Pastor Andrew, look at the ones that don't have their hands raised real quick, because those are the ones... Those are the ones we can ask. Okay, you can put your hands down. That wasn't my point. My point is thank God we've got gifted and talented people up here every single Sunday that have amazing voices and crazy amounts of skill to play these instruments and do and sing and just all of these abilities, because if not, we don't have them. We need all, that's part of all the others to us, right? Thank God we have people with outgoing personalities that are willing just to throw a smile on their face and be at the resource center or be a part of the First Impressions team, and people that have the know-how to run sound and media and lights up there. And that's part of all of the others. We need each other. So what I want you to do is I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, you need me. I think some of you turned to everyone around you, because that actually went on for a while. All right. Turn to the person on your other side. Say, you need me. Obviously, you were the second choice. I'm sorry. But there always has to be a second choice. Anyways. I want to give you four things that you need today, four things that you and I need, and I want to share with you. It's found in a personality profile. And basically, the guy that created the profile says that there's four aspects of a person's life. And I want to make the case that for most of these aspects, because they never get touched in real life. They don't. And I want to make the case for doing life together, that it can change us, it can make us better, it can draw things out of us that need to be drawn out, and it can put things in us that need to be put in, and we need each other. Four aspects. The number one is the arena. There's some things that I know about you just being together with you today, but there's some things that you already know about me just hearing me speak for a few minutes, and you know that I like humor, and I try to incorporate that as much as I can, and you know, there's aspects of the arena in our lives. But it's the public side. It's what you see. Here's the first thing is that we need somebody, and I need people to really know me. See, because in the arena, what happens is you see this. You see, oh, okay, he likes that kind of clothes, or she likes to dress that way, she likes to dye her hair, she should dye her. No, I'm just joking. And there's certain things that you see, but it's all outward. There's nothing inward. There's no deeper. There's nothing deeper. And we need somebody who in our lives that really knows who we are, knows our scars and our faults, and what causes me pain, what brings me joy, what brings me happiness. What if I'm crying, and am I crying because of joy, or am I crying out of passion? Because this is the thing that very breaks me, because it breaks the heart of God. Do you have people in your life that know the difference? Do you have people in your life that know the difference? If you were crying, do they know? Are you crying out of happiness? Or are you crying out of a deep passion in your life? Because there's another side of me. There's another side of you. 1 Corinthians 2, for who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In other words, all of us have this other side, the inside. All of us see the public side, but there's another side that's real, and it's the real you, if you will. And that's the part where I really believe that we need to get to. And I'm not saying that everybody in this room needs to know everybody's real you. I think that could be dangerous. Why do I need to know somebody? Why do I need to know somebody on that level? Because we all have that day. That day will come where we're ready to check out. The day will come that we receive really bad news. That day will come when someone we love deeply and passionately just falls apart. That day will come, and all of us need, we don't even need a church of 300. We just need a few people, right? Just maybe one or two people that we can say, hey, listen, I'm really going through a difficult time. This is going on. Can you connect with me? Can we grab coffee? Can you just come over for a few? Can you just come and pray for me? We need a few people who really know us. And maybe they know you on such a deep level that they didn't get a call from you today and they're saying, something's not right. I need to reach out. Something's going on. Maybe they know you on a deeper level where they walk into church and you may have a smile in front of everybody else, but they look past that smile because they know the deeper you and they say, that is not so-and-so's real smile. Mm-mm. I know their real smile. I know their joy. I need to go see what's going on. We need people that we've built a relationship within a faith community. And that's something that every one of us needs because we all face that day. We all have those days. Here's the second aspect of our lives that doing life together can really make a difference, and that's the mass. And this is so true, man. I used to teach about this a lot in student ministries. And the mask is a thing that we all put on. We all put on. I have a 2-year-old in my home. He's got a mask. I mean, it's crazy. And it's not Darth Vader. I mean, it's like he puts it on. He wants everyone to think that it's okay. Well, actually, he cries when nothing's wrong and he wants attention. So anyway, so his mask is the opposite. We're working on it. We're working on it. But we all have masks. We have masks as adults. We walk in, hey, how's your day? Oh, man, it's so good. Oh, if it was any better, there'd be two of me. You know, and you just be like, man, it's so good. And really, you're just crumbling apart. Your marriage is hurting. You feel like you're a failure as a parent. You just have to have someone in your life that is a safe place. And Jesus is always that. Jesus is always that. But someone that you can go to, someone that you can say, just, man, listen, no, I'm not judging you. I'm not doing anything. I just sit down and listen, and I want to just hear your heart, and I just want to pray with you, and I just want to encourage you. And so some of us don't have that. You know, and the thing is I'm not safe if no one knows the deeper me. We're not safe. Let me say it this way, sir, ma'am, or young person. If there's something that only you know about, you're not in a healthy place. You're not in a healthy place. You have to have somebody. I'm not saying you share it with your entire group. You know, what we see a lot of times in life groups is we see people come together and even deeper relationships further outside of that. It's not the entire group, but usually there's someone within that group that others connect with and they build relationship far outside of these walls. And if you've got something that only you know about, you are not safe. You are not in a good place emotionally and spiritually and even physically sometimes. Somebody needs to know where your struggles are. Somebody needs to know where you're tempted. Someone needs to know what your downfall is. And if no one knows, you're in an unsafe place. We need people who will protect us. They cannot protect you if they don't know what's going on inside of you. And this is what Paul said. We refuse to wear masks and play games. Rather, look at what he says. Paul says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep everything I do and say out in the open. I'm going to keep it all out there. You need a few people who really know. And you've heard this before. It's really the only way that you're going to really get over habitual sin is if you confess to God, God will forgive you, yes. But James 5 also says that if you confess your faults to one to another, you pray for one another. That's where healing takes place. God will forgive you, but the healing takes place is when you confess it to someone and they pray with you, and now you are, by the grace and by the power of God, you are overcoming that thing in your life. You need a person that's going to protect you and see you get healed and walk this thing through with you. And there's also a blind spot. Think about this. I didn't know I acted that way, but you know I act that way. I didn't know that when I get around a certain people or a certain personality, I didn't know that I was threatened by them, but you see it every time. You see it every time. I didn't know that when certain things happen and I just spout off at the mouth and I get an attitude and I don't even realize that I'm doing it, but you see it. You see it's happening. We all have that. We have that exposed place. And here we're just smiling away and you're trying to tell someone, hey, you got something right here. And you're like around a group of people, you're just like, hey, got something right here. Blow it out, man. Get it out. And then they get paranoid and they're just like rubbing their whole face but you've got to have friends that say, listen. You got something in your teeth, man. Your zipper's down. You got some crud on your face. Big disgrace. Kick it. No, I'm just joking. Anyways, you got to be like, dude, listen, you've got a little something right there that you got to get straight in your life. Do you have somebody like that that's willing to call you out in a loving way? Not someone that's crude, not someone that's just going to throw you underneath the bus, someone that's just going to say, hey, can I talk to you about something real quick? And they sit down and you're like, man, that was not a fun conversation, but I really appreciate you being honest with me. You've got blind spots. I've got blind spots. Not everybody needs to know what they are, but a few people who love you do need to know what they are. And that's why we desperately need people who will be honest with us. Just surround yourself with some honest people, and not everyone's going to be that way. Some people literally just feel like they're going to crush a person, and they just can't do it. And so then they have to rely on somebody else. You and I need someone to know if, listen, I need to know if I'm misspeaking to my wife and I'm not treating her respectfully. I need someone who's going to say, hey, listen, you know what, Matt? Your attitude kind of stinks today, man. Is everything okay? You need a nappy? What's going on? What's up? What's the deal today? I don't know about you, but I'm not ready to receive that from just anybody or everybody, but I'll receive it from people that I really believe are with me. And I hope for the person that you are striving to become that you have someone that you've allowed to be honest with you in that kind of way, because we all need it. Look what the Word of God says about this. Proverbs 27:6. This is huge. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The Bible says that the good guy, the faithful guy, was the guy that said, hey, bro, you've got some things that you need to work on. Can I come alongside you with that? Can I pray for you? Can I just encourage you in that area? It's your enemy that's kissing you, saying, oh, you're wonderful. You're the best. Oh, my goodness. I can't believe how amazing you are. Now we need someone who can really just be straight up with us. Here's the last one in its potential. Only God knows our full potential. It's true, isn't it? We don't even know our full potential. If my potential can only be realized because God knows it, how does faith-filled relationships then become doing life together with my crew help all of that? How does that help? Here's how. Because God's system is you connecting with another member of the body of Christ. That's why he calls us the body of Christ. Many pieces, one body. We are not supposed to be body parts. We're supposed to be the hand, knowing what the wrist is and knowing what the wrist does and knowing the responsibilities of the wrist and knowing what the arm does and the responsibility of the arm and knowing what the fingers do and all of these things. It's connection. It's not just parts. It's connected parts. And that's what the Bible says. Each part does its work. It helps other parts grow. It helps other parts flourish. So Christ's whole body is healthy. It is growing. It is full of love. And it's exactly where we are as the church. Waverly Open Bible is healthy. It is growing in just about every area of ministry. Church, you are doing a great job. But I want to tell you that there is even greater to come. And I do believe that there will be more people that will join in, that will be the body, that will work as the body, and that we will come together and that we will flourish and we will continue to thrive. Because it's just because that we're doing a good job does not mean that we stop and say, oh man, we've arrived. This ministry is flourishing. Man, cut it from the vine, let it go, and just see what it does. It will die. It will die. It needs constant attention. It needs constant oversight. It needs someone encouraging it. It needs someone leading it. It makes a difference. We need to be making a difference in people's lives, and it takes something big sometimes to pull that off. So the big church needs to become small because we need more of that. We need more people saying, you know, coming together as a big church and then breaking down into the small church. Final verse, Proverbs 18:24. A man of many companions may come to ruin. So if you're one of those, oh man, I've got a lot of friends. The Bible says that that's not good enough. You need a friend that sticks closer than a brother. You need the intimate friend. It doesn't have to be everybody, but it needs to be a few. I want to challenge you with everything in me to consider getting into authentic, faith-filled community. To take a plunge into getting to know people. Maybe you've observed people while you've ate donuts or fruit or drank coffee on Sunday mornings. You said, you know what, I'd like to get to know that person a little bit more. Chances are that person's probably looking for relationship as well. Wants to hang out, maybe connect your families together. I want to pray for you before we go. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, thank you for this amazing church and the work that you are doing. And God, I just simply pray that we'd all realize the need, that we'd all have the courage to take the next step so that we can grow and so that you can grow in us. As you continue to pray today, there's those of you that recognize that you do not have a relationship with Jesus. There are others of you that recognize I'm rebellious. I am living a life that is clearly apart from God. I've sinned against God. And you feel the guilt. You feel the weight of that. That's the Holy Spirit. It's nothing else. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the work of God upon your life. And if something happened to you today, and you really believe that there is a God, and you stood before him, you'd say, I'd be guilty. Because I'm afraid, I'm ashamed of what I've done. I need his forgiveness. I want his grace. Let me just tell you, the good news is Jesus, without sin, he was perfect in every way. He died in your place. He died in my place so that we could be forgiven. Not because we're good, because Jesus is that good. That's why it's called the good news. It's the grace of Jesus. The truth is, without him, we are in deep trouble. We don't have the righteousness on our own to stand before a holy and a righteous God. And if you're here today and maybe you're listening online and you recognize that you do not have a relationship with God, you need his forgiveness. And today you want to enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ and you want to surrender your life to him. Can I just remind you again that it is the single most important relationship, because it's not just an earthly relationship. This thing goes beyond earth. It follows us past death, this relationship. It's an eternity. And if you say, listen, I want a relationship with Jesus, or maybe you just simply say, I'm coming back to Jesus. I've been apart from him so long. I'm giving my life back to him. If that's you, would you just lift your hands today? I just want to pray with you right where you're at. Thank you. Thank you. Would you pray this with those around you? Heavenly Father, I want a relationship with you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Make me brand new. I want to know you, serve you, and follow you. Fill me with your Spirit. I give my life to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.